welcome to Dance Matters Podcast, the place where we talk all things dance and the performing arts industry.
A place where we share knowledge and real stories from people in the industry in the hope of inspiring and educating. We are your hosts, Kaylee
and Charlie.
Happy 100th episode!
Wow, what an amazing 2 years it has been. Who would have thought we would be at episode 100 already?
And what incredible people we have had the privilege to meet with along the way.
We are so thankful to each and every guest we've had on our show. They have shared their stories openly and honestly. We've listened to their highs and their lows. It has been an absolute honour to share their stories with all of our listeners.
Without our incredible family of listeners, we also couldn't have this show. It takes many, many hours of labour to get an episode to you all.
But it's all worth it if we can inspire, motivate, or encourage one person.
Which is why we love hearing from you.
If you have a chance, we would love if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review.
Or you can share any of the episodes you enjoy on your own pages.
Or drop us a message. We love hearing from you.
It makes the long hours of editing worthwhile.
But now it's time to get down to the exciting part.
Charlie, from the very first moment we had the idea of a dance podcast, who was the one person you wanted to talk to more than anything?
I've genuinely loved every single one of our guests, but the one person I've wanted to talk to more than anything would have to be today's guest.
It's only taken me 100 episodes. But we finally got there.
Today's guest, Brian Olley, is an absolute incredible young dancer who first entered the spotlight as a young Rochelle on J-Troop in The Next Step.
Over the years, she has become one of the longest standing cast members, having appeared on every season of the hit television show.
She's also graced our screens on World of Dance, which then landed her the incredible opportunity of opening for J-Lo on tour.
With her work ethic and never give up attitude, it seems like nothing is going to get in the way of whatever she puts her mind to.
But it hasn't always been smooth sailing. At the age of 16, Brea started experiencing seizures and was told she would need to give up dancing.
But that was never an option for this strong and courageous dancer.
Continuing on, despite the challenges, she was finally diagnosed with epilepsy at the age of 19 and was able to receive treatment to enable her to continue pursuing her dreams.
Brea proves that hard work and determination can lead you to great things.
But it wasn't actually dancing that was her first passion. Young Brea followed in her parents' footsteps from a very early age into the local gymnastics centre. We can't wait to share her story with you. Please welcome Brian Olley.
Hi Brea, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now Brea, you are a phenomenal dancer who is perhaps best known for your success on World of Dance and your role as Rochelle on The Next Step. Can you take us back though to where your love of dance first began?
Yes, so funny. My parents are actually Olympic gymnasts, so I was actually a competitive gymnast growing up. I would say since the age of 2 or 3 until I was 7. So I actually considerably got into dance a little bit later than most people who, you know, want to become professional dancers. A lot of them start really young and some do start later. But for me, it was kind of like an in-between, not older, not younger. It was kind of like right before I turned into a teenager. I was like, oh, you know what? I want to dance. But there also comes a lot of injury, a lot more injury with gymnastics, just because the skill levels and the events that you do are quite dangerous. And both of my parents being gymnasts knew that that was going to be the case, and they already started to see potential issues that were arising when I was 7. So my dad, now being a physio, was like, you know what, why don't you just try you in a few other, you know, sports and industries and just see how you make out. So I tried like figure skating, track and field, like all the things, and dance was one of the last ones I tried, and I just fell in love with it so fast. And it's been awesome because I've been able to keep my gymnastics training up while being able to obviously dance is, you know, my main industry, but being able to keep that side of gymnastics with me through my dance career has been very, very, very fun.
I just had it all makes sense moment now with the amount of acro you do and how good you are at it. What level did your parents compete at?
So my dad was a 3-time Olympic gymnast for Canada.
Wow.
And my mom was an Olympic level coach. Yeah, so they were very much into the gymnastics world. And then when my dad, I was born in 98. My dad's last Olympics was 96. And then he went to school here in Canada to become a physiotherapist. Because then again, he had injuries that were ongoing. He blew both of his knees. So he had surgeries. He knew that, you know, after that one, it was probably time to retire from, you know, that hardcore training for the Olympics. So yeah, then he became became a physio, and he's been that ever since. My mom actually, even when I went to CDC, which is the studio I grew up at here, or dance studio, she became the acro coach. So actually, after she trained her Olympic gymnast, she came and taught me most of what I know. And a lot of the dancers like Miles and Isaac, a lot of them around me who went to the same studio, she was our acro coach until like literally maybe 3-4 years ago. So yeah, it's so funny.
Did you ever have that dream of following in their footsteps and going to the Olympics as a gymnast?
100%. I think since I was so young, I can't really remember. Like, I was assuming probably like between the age of like 2 to 7, I'm sure like my goal was that. But then I think once I got into dance, the mind about like the Olympics and gymnastics really drifted off because I got so involved with dance and like what those goals looked like. And it wasn't obviously very Olympic based. So I kind of switched my focus there. But I think as I got older, like even within like the last like 5 years, I would say, I've really loved, especially during the pandemic too, a lot of stuff was closed, but I'm lucky that I have a really close connection with the owner of the gym club that I train at. So he, you know, once in a while let me go in and train, and I really fell in love with, again, like trying different events like the vault, the beam, stuff that I really never touched since I left gymnastics. I kind of just like played around with, and it was so fun. So I think now I'm like, oh, it would have been so cool to go to the Olympics, but I'm very grateful for my journey. I think everything happens for a reason. So as much as it would be fun, I think my path kind of just happened, and I'm grateful for it.
So was CDC the school you started at when you were 7 years of age?
So Canadian Dance Company, I actually started at a recreational studio that didn't have any competitive dancing. It was called Studio Pavis here in like the greater Toronto area, but wasn't a competitive studio. It was just kind of a tester to see if I really liked to dance. And they were an amazing studio for when I was that age and for what I was looking to do. But when I decided I wanted to take dance on seriously and compete at a really strong level, I auditioned for Canadian Dance Company. And I remember like me and my mom were like, yo, I don't know if I'm going to get in. Like there's so many amazing dancers here. Like I just know how to tumble. Like I would just back handspring through, but like had no idea what like a jeté was or a kick. Like I didn't know as a gymnast. I just knew how to tumble. So it was really funny. I just remember my audition there and the studio owner being like, whoa, just so much gymnastics. And yeah, then I got a call saying I got in. And ever since then, the owner, Alan, and his family, it's just a family of six. Isaac's a son, and then they have daughters as well. They all grew me to be the dancer that I am today. So I got really lucky to have an amazing family behind a really strong studio to raise me into, yeah, an athlete, into a dancer.
And what was your training like growing up? Did you do all genres of dance?
Yeah, I did. Yes, it was a lot of training. I think I trained between like 25 to 35 hours a week. Maybe not 7 years old, I wasn't doing that much training, but I would say probably from like 13 to 18, it was like that intense with those hours, give or take when I was younger. But yeah, it was all styles of dance from like ballet, point, jazz, tap, hip hop, like obviously acro. We even would touch in like ballroom, not as much, but we would touch in there. And obviously a lot of choreography, a lot of conventions. It was just like always learning and growing. And yeah, partnering was a big thing. We had a lot of guys to work with, so we were always learning new lifts, new tricks. So yeah, it was really fun, but the whole, you know, 25, 35 hours a week wasn't just one style. It was really broken up into the classes and the different styles, which also kept it really interesting, really challenging. And yeah, it was really, really, really fun. I got very lucky with the studio I was at.
I don't think there is any denying that a lot of hard work has gone into making you the dancer that you are. But as a young dancer, were you naturally quite talented? Did you experience a lot of success right from the start of picking up dance?
So when I started dance, as I was saying, I did have a lot of gymnastics training, which I guess was something that a lot of students maybe did not have like that type of ability with, just because they weren't introduced to it like I was, like right into it at 3 years old, like competitive gymnastics. They went more the dance route. So I would say like as much as I was strong in gymnastics, they were much further along with me when it came to dance, especially like styles like tap and hip hop that I wasn't introduced to. I guess as a gymnast, floor routines were a thing. So dance, whether it be jazz or contemporary, was the least like hinted in there. But I definitely would not say that I had like a crazy amount of talent or a crazy amount of success right away. I definitely had to work for it. And even to this day, I still have so many goals and dreams that I don't even like to think that I'm close to perfect, because there's so much that I still love to learn from. So many people I love to learn from, and so much I still love to learn. I think one of my favorite things is just being a student. And no matter how old I get, I always love being a student. I always love to learn and challenge myself more, and even like come up with things and challenge myself to innovate certain moves or certain flips or certain jumps. So yeah, I appreciate and I'm so grateful for all the success that I've had, but I definitely I would say, like, to keep training and moving forward and not, like, to think that, I mean, I'm proud of myself, but I like to always think that there's, you know, the next thing to kind of work towards.
How old were you when you first landed your role on The Next Step?
I was 13 years old when I landed that role, which is so crazy because it feels like so long ago, which I guess it actually was, but yeah, I was 13 years old.
How did that opportunity come about?
So that opportunity actually came from my studio at Canadian Dance Company, because CDC, for short term, they are a very like commercial studio. So when you go to CDC, you definitely expect to want to get into TV and film and be, you know, introduced to agencies. They love to obviously give you a wide range of styles to, you know, train in, but then also love to introduce you to that side of the industry as well. So I remember the casting director of The Next Step was looking for dancers first and actors second. Like, they really wanted strong dancers to be the main characters of The Next Step. So they went around studios across the greater Toronto area just auditioning and seeing, you know, what kind of talent was out there since it was the beginning of the show. So they came to CDC and I just auditioned, not really knowing at all about acting, but just, you know, giving my best for the dance side of it. And yeah, and then I ended up getting the part on J-Troop, and it was just like, it happened so fast. And I just remember being so excited, but also like not confused, but just like, huh, I wonder like what this whole acting thing is about. Because again, I was just so familiar with dance that I hadn't really been introduced to the acting scene.
Were you nervous on your first day of filming?
Yes, I definitely was. But for me, my, I'd say nerves really channel like adrenaline. So I get super like hyper and excited and like just jump around like a little bean. So I feel like instead of like being like, you know, shy and quiet and like shaky, I'm like just a ball of energy and I just like can't contain it. So I feel like I get tired really quick because I'm very much like that. So I just remember being so young, 13, I gratefully, I knew a lot of people that were hired on the show, like as the dancers and the actors, because we're all in that dance industry. So even though we went to different studios, we all knew of each other, competed against each other, had all these friendships going on. So I think it was really fun. And I was just excited to, you know, get my hair done or get my makeup done or, you know, get into a costume that they made me, and see all my friends at once from all different studios in the same place. So I think I was honestly more so excited, especially because I was so young and I was just going with the flow and just didn't know what to expect. And I do remember that the first thing I did for The Next Step was a dance rehearsal. So I knew I was just excited to kind of, you know, show what I could do and dance and meet a bunch of new great dancers. So it was really fun. I was definitely nervous, but I just remember going right in there and I was just a little ball of energy, just trying to do what I could.
How did you feel when you got moved from J-Troop and you got to become one of the main characters?
So excited. I remember that, like, in my first season of The Next Step, I was so grateful for the role that I got, and I was just really praying and hoping that they would give me the opportunity to work on my acting skills through the next season, so that I could show them that I, you know, possibly now could not only just be a dancer and a character, but also bring in the acting aspect and really give her life, give her a story. So when I was able to, you know, be moved up, per se, into A Troop or B Troop even, and, you know, get more lines, more storyline, I was so excited and I was so grateful for it. So I just wanted to make sure that I was like on my best every single day that we were filming those seasons.
You have actually been dating your boyfriend Miles, who plays Noah, since you first started on The Next Step. What is it that you love about him?
Miles, oh my gosh, everything. He's amazing. But I think if I had to choose, I love that he's very inspiring and he's very motivating in a really positive way. And I think that really helps me thrive further, because I feel like I can always go to him for advice or opinions. Since we're in the same industry, we can really help each other for what someone needs, whether it be an audition and I need to read for him, whether it be a dance and I need a partner for, you know, a certain role. So I think the fact that we really work well together, whether it be in a personal or a work environment, is really lucky. So yeah, and he's very genuine. He's very humble. He's really down to earth, which I really like. And sometimes people can get lost in the acting world once you get like a role per se. And I think he stayed super humble and really genuine to everyone, not just people he knows. So I think, yeah, those are a few things I really love about him.
Oh, you two are the cutest.
Thank you.
Was it hard when he left The Next Step?
Was, but I mean, the one reason that Miles actually left The Next Step was because he was filming a really big feature film movie in New York City, and we were filming The Next Step at a time where he was actually still in New York. So as much as I miss him on The Next Step, I still obviously saw him through filming here and there when I could make a trip out. I think all of us, when it comes to like actually being a part of the show in The Next Step as characters, of course we miss Noah because he was such a big part of The Next Step for so long. But I think just like every other character, like Michelle and Riley and James, they all have cameos within the season, even even though they're maybe not a main character, they always pop in and they have storylines. And when they're, you know, in Toronto, when we're filming seasons, you know, they always love to, yeah, to cameo their character, which is really fun to bring them back. It brings back a lot of memories.
Rochelle at times has her not so nice moments. Have you ever found it hard playing the mean girl?
Yes, definitely. Especially because I like to think I'm really bubbly and like I'm super, super hyper all the time. So to be able to play that, it was definitely challenging. But at the same time, it's kind of really fun to have an excuse to be really sassy. Maybe not mean, but to have a sassy attitude. It's kind of fun because I have to have one. So it's almost like playing dress up. Acting is kind of like playing dress up with your character, with your personality. So yeah, I think it's definitely a challenge, and it's a really fun character to get to play, because I feel like if it was really similar to me, I wouldn't be challenging my acting skills as much. So to be able to have a character that's quite different from myself as like a whole, I think it's pretty fun to, when I'm on set, put on a new like personality and become someone else and be able to grow her character that's not related to me personally.
What's the best thing about being on that show?
Oh my gosh, I think the fans. Every time that we get to tour, no matter where we are around the world, it is like the best feeling ever to meet you guys and meet all of the fans around the world and all of the people that get to watch the show. One of the main reasons we get to do it is because of all of them and all of you guys. So it's definitely a pleasure being able to perform on TV and to perform live sometimes as well. So the fans for sure. And along with that, we've just built such a strong family since we've had so many seasons and we're so grateful to have. So yeah, the family and the people around us and the people that watch it are definitely the base of what the next step is.
You are one of the longest running cast members. If the next step could keep filming, how long would you like to appear on the show?
Oh my goodness, I'd love to appear as long as the show goes. I feel like, obviously, as I get older, Rochelle gets older, so I don't know if she'd be able to play if the season goes on for 20 seasons. She might be a little bit old to still be on the HM at the next step since they're in high school. But I think as long as an opportunity for Rochelle to show up, whether it be as like a studio owner or as, I don't know, some guest in some way at a competition, you know, if there's a way that she can be around even when she's too old to be on HUB, I would love to do it. And if I can make it work every season, if that's a possibility, I would 100% do that.
So you're not at the point where you feel like you've outgrown that?
It's just such a show where I feel like it's so fun to do. And obviously other shows are as well, but just like the crew and the cast are such a family that no matter like how old I get, I feel like it's just like home. It feels like home. I feel like we're such a big family. Of course, if other jobs came about, I would definitely, you know, probably accept those. But if there was, you know, a few days in there, I could come back and film a little quick scene here or there, then I would definitely, definitely take that on. Because it's just, it's one of those shows that you just feel like, you know, you never completely want to leave because it feels like it's your home, it's your base.
Do you ever watch old episodes of yourself in the next step?
Say that I watch full episodes, but I definitely, like, when I see edits on social media or I have a scene that I want to show someone, or sometimes, like, little things just pop up and it's really fun to look back and see what I look like or what I did and how I would do it now. It's just really cool to definitely look back on those memories. So I wouldn't say all the time, but, you know, the odd person or even, like, my cousins will be like, I watched this episode, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that feels like so long ago, and I'll watch it too with them, and it's just so funny to look back on it. So I definitely see, though, through the edits on Instagram, I definitely see a lot of past scenes that bring back great memories.
Whilst you've had an amazing career, it hasn't been without its challenges. I don't know if everyone is aware, but you actually have epilepsy. This was undiagnosed for a number of years. What was that like for you going through that experience? It must have been a little bit scary when you weren't sure what it was.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the big thing as well was it was only triggered by picking up choreography. So literally just dancing. I had several of them over the course of 2 years while they were undiagnosed, and they were only in dance studios. I never had them anywhere else. The only time I would have them were studios, because for some reason, when I would learn choreography, it was like I'd learn a count of 8 or maybe more. It would be about 2 to, like, you know, longer, maybe like 30 to 2 minutes per se. And I would like go through it, and then I would like almost have a blank out, like when you like legit forget choreo. But instead of me like getting back into it, my brain would almost go into like a blur, and then that would go into my seizure. So for some reason, I couldn't remember a lot of choreography mentally and then physically connect it to my body at the same time. So like there was some sort of connection between the two that for some reason wasn't functioning properly. And again, myself and the cast members saw a few, and a lot of dancers. My family never did again, because I was lucky. I was just lucky they didn't see them, but they were only in studios. So it was really confusing, especially since I was completely unconscious. I didn't know what was happening or why they were happening. And a lot of doctors were like, well, you know, it must be anxiety if it's only happening in one space. Usually epilepsy happens with lights, and, you know, it could be when you're driving, where this was only in one scenario. So they all thought, I think there was 4 of them over the course of 2 years that thought it was just anxiety. And I had an EEG done, which is a test to detect if you have epilepsy and, you know, seizure, you know, issues there. When I was young, I think when my first one happens when I was 16, so I was with a pediatric neurologist and they checked all my EEG scans and I was clear. So that kind of ruled out epilepsy, which is why they were kind of like, it's not that. So they went on to thinking it was something else. But as I got older, they started to get a little bit more consistent. I started to feel that the blankouts started to happen a little bit more frequently. So when I was talking really quick or I was writing really quick or typing really quick, anything that I had to mentally think quick and then physically do quick directly after was where the issue was occurring. So I never had any seizures with the writing, typing, talking, but I started to feel the blankout starting to come along. So I was like trying to find other neurologists that were just willing to do another EEG test on me just to confirm. So I found a really great doctor here in Toronto and he did an EEG on me, but he actually let me wear it home for 3 days so they could track my brain waves, not just laying in the hospital in a bed, but when I was doing my everyday activities. And that's actually where they found the epilepsy. So I got really grateful that he was, you know, willing to let me go home with these things and just track it for longer periods of time than usual. Because usually an EEG is like 2-3 hours. You're laying on a bed, they flash some lights and they detect your brainwaves there. But I got really lucky, yeah, with this doctor. So he diagnosed me in December of 2017. And then, yeah, I got put on medication. And since then, I'm still on that medication, but I haven't had a seizure since. So I got really lucky that that medication did work for me. And it is super mild. And I got lucky with that as well. A lot of people tend to have issues when finding the right medication, because seizures are so, you know, give or take, you don't know why or how or what's affecting it. So I had 3 options and I picked the one that was probably going to be the least effective, but had the least amount of effects on my body post, I guess. And I got really, really lucky that that one was the one that worked. And it was definitely with dance. Obviously, those 2 years were quite crazy because I had so many of these seizures because I kept putting myself in the scenario to dance, which was giving me the seizures. So it was really hard for my family to be like, no, we don't support you going into a dance studio because we know that you're gonna have a seizure, but at the same time, it's what I love to do and I didn't want to not do it. So, and I was also filming The Next Step, which obviously has a lot of dance within it. So yeah, it was a really crazy, challenging time, but I was really grateful to have a strong support system with my family and my friends and my doctors behind me that were there to support me along the way. And yeah, eventually everything worked out and I'm super grateful for my health. And I think it's one of those things where now I never take any dance class for granted because you do never know what could happen. Not that I did as a kid, but at some point, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want to be in this ballet class, or I don't want to be in this tap class. And I think now every class that I take, no matter what style, whether it's my favorite or not, I'm just super grateful that I can learn choreo or type really fast. It sounds so crazy, but the little things you don't realize until they're taken away from you, right?
Given that dance seemed to be the trigger, was there ever a time doctors wanted you to stop going to dance?
Yes. The neurologist that I talked to didn't really know, I guess, the extent of the dancer that I was. So they were like, well, just don't do it. And I'm like, well, you don't understand. I can't just not do it. I really want to do it. And so they were like, you know, why don't you, like, I went to a therapist to try and, I guess, reverse your mind into thinking you're not going to have one when you think you're going to have one. It's like all these mind tricks, since they thought it was anxiety, that, you know, calm you down so that you don't go into one. And I tried everything and went into classes trying these strategies. And again, like, nothing was working. It was so odd. And I kept telling these neurologists and they just were like, well, you don't have epilepsy. The EEG was clear. So that's ruled out. It's only happening in dance studio. Obviously, you're getting super anxious before you learn choreography and that's what's triggering them. And I could see why they could think that, but they just, I guess, didn't understand me to the extent that my family knew me and knew that I wasn't going to stop doing it. So that's why my family and I just kept researching doctors that were willing to actually listen and take the time. And yeah, the doctor I have to this day, I'm always still in contact with him. He's amazing. Yeah, we've done epilepsy events with him and others in the GTA, and it's been pretty incredible to hopefully spread awareness for it, because I know it's a quite crazy and actually quite frequent illness that's around a lot.
Given that it took so long to diagnose, how difficult was that time for you emotionally?
So it was definitely a really challenging time mentally, but I was also still really young in the way that I was like, just go, 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 go. And that's all I really knew. So yeah, I think I definitely took the time to take care of myself mentally and physically after the whole situation happened, because I was so young when I was going through it. But I think, yeah, now I just kind of look at the positive side of it. I'm just super grateful to be healthy and to be able to still dance.
We watched you absolutely take the world by storm in World of Dance. What was that experience like?
It was so fun. Oh my goodness. It was so lovely to be able to be surrounded by dancers all around the world, I guess, hence World of Dance. So a bunch of different styles of dance that I had never seen before I was competing against. And I really just love the fact that everyone was so down to earth and everyone was so talented and just more so inspired and motivated by each other, instead of, you know, being really competitive where no one wanted to look at each other or no one wanted to talk to each other. Again, it kind of just feels like we formed a family near the end with the finalists, which was so lovely. And again, I left super inspired and wanting to train in different styles and wanting to meet these people again and train with them after. So as much as it was physically draining and challenging, especially being a soloist and having, you know, that much physical and mental pressure because I just came out of my epilepsy situation, I definitely pushed myself. But again, I always push myself. So I was like, this isn't not Briar. Briar would definitely do something like this.
You then got an opportunity that is pretty much unheard of. You were asked to open for Jennifer Lopez on her tour as a dancer, just dancing without any singing. You weren't a backup person. What was that like?
It was incredible. It was honestly a dream to come true. I think if there was any goal that I had to be a dancer, like gymnastics, your goal is to be the Olympics. I think for me as a dancer, my goal would be to have opened for an artist as a soloist on a tour. And I think that the fact that I got that opportunity so shockingly, I was like, oh my gosh, they just called me one day. And I was like, what? Like, this is crazy. I think that since I got that opportunity, it literally changed my life. And I was so inspired by her as well. Like, Jennifer herself she's such a lovely, well-balanced, strong, I don't even know, like, just loving person, but so talented and so inspiring. I think that whole experience just inspired me more and just sparked so much motivation in my step and my dreams and goals. So it was the time of my life. If I could redo that tour, I 100% would in a second.
You are still so young, yet you've achieved so much. What would you rate as your greatest achievements?
Oh, I would say, I mean, opening for J-Lo is probably one of my like most proud moments, just because I just had been through so much mentally and obviously through my epilepsy. And then the fact that I competed on Real to Dance right away and then got that opportunity to open for her and be able to like freely dance without worrying about my seizures was definitely a turning point in my career that I was super grateful for. But I even think as soon as I got back into dance after my seizures, I have to give myself a lot of credit, and I'm super proud of myself for getting back into dance and learning choreography super fast, since that was my trigger. It was definitely hard because obviously like having seizures from dancing, anxiety wise, mm-hmm. you get really nervous when I got back into it, even on medication, that you never know if it's going to happen again. And I was putting myself in that situation to see if it would happen. And that is super nerve wracking. And even though it doesn't seem like a big thing for me, I was super proud of myself to be able to just push myself in a nice, calm way to just slowly get back into learning choreography after I was diagnosed. And, you know, having that 50-50 chance that it could work, it could not. And I'm glad that I took that chance to try. So I would say, yes, opening for J-Lo was a huge moment, definitely one that I'm very, very proud of. But I think just getting back into dance the way that I did after such a strong, hard time was definitely a proud moment for me mentally and physically.
No, it certainly is a massive thing to put yourself in that position where you know that it triggers you and it could bring that on, to be able to face that and to challenge
totally.
That.
Yeah, especially now, even though it's been like 4 or 5 years, there's still times where I'm learning a really hard hip hop combo that's so quick. And I just get nervous. I'm like, wow, if I was doing this 4 years ago, I would have been on floor. So I'm just like, whoo, take a second. Sometimes I even still need to grab some water and just step out of the room and just take a breath. You know, a lot of memories pop in. And sometimes that just triggers me to get a little bit anxious. But I'm really good with knowing when those times are and not even being ashamed of them. Be like, you know what? I just need to take a second. I just need to step out. Because if I keep going, I just get more anxious and then I just get stressed and then I get behind and I'm like, it's just too much. Sometimes I just need to grab some water and just take a step back. And sometimes that's what you need to do. And if that means that I need to step away 15 minutes and I miss learning half of the combo, then maybe I only do the first half, or maybe I just watch the rest of the class. I try not to put too much pressure on myself to like need to be like perfect all the time, because honestly, mental health is so important. And if I feel like I'm not on 100%, then my body obviously is going to take a toll as well. And it's not worth it. I say it's like not worth me having a seizure just because I want to impress a teacher in class. Like, I gotta take care of myself first. So I think it's just important to listen to your body. And I think as a kid, that's one thing I struggled with, was I just would go again, especially since my parents had that Olympic mentality. They're actually super great. They're the ones that'd be like, no, slow down. But I think knowing that they had at my age that like drive to get where they wanted to be, I had that same thing that I wanted to do that as well, no matter if I was sick or not. And so I think being able to like slow down and now understand that when I didn't a while ago, I think it's definitely helpful in this industry, because you need to know when to listen to your body or else you can burn yourself out too.
Obviously, the epilepsy is a major challenge that you have faced. Have there been any other challenges that you've come across along the journey?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the epilepsy one was one of the main ones, just because it lasted so long and had such a huge impact. But of course, there's little things along the way. During World of Dance, right before the duels, I actually broke my hand. So I had a broken hand during the duels in Redemption and through the rest of the competition, but I broke it like the day before I had to meet. I was rehearsing my duels solo in the ballroom of a hotel, and I did one of my jumps and I just got really high, and almost too high that I like missed my feet. And then I obviously am very protective of my head, so I put my hand there first, and I literally all my body weight like crushed my pinky finger. So I broke my fifth metacarpal here. And so if you look back, it's like so swollen, but I was just trying to like put all the pressure on the palm of my hand and my thumb. So that was definitely tricky to work with, but I just had a splint on between every scene or between every routine. And obviously I was really lucky, my dad's a physio, so on the phone he's like, just do this, do that, do this. Because if I went to the doctors and got surgery, I would have been out of the whole competition. So it was kind of like a, would you want to continue or would you want to not? And I think obviously if it was like your foot or your knee, you kind of have to step away from it. But I was like, you know what, it's just my finger. I can just tape it together so it would just always be stationary. It wasn't anything crazy, it was just fractured. So I was like, you know what, let me continue with that. So that was definitely a painful but, you know, push through moment there. But aside from that, like little injuries, but honestly I got really lucky, nothing too crazy. Yeah, when it comes to injuries besides those.
In the industry you're in, you put yourself out there and you can get a lot of no's before you get yeses. Do you ever have any self-doubt?
Yes, and it's definitely hard to fall into that for sure. But I try and always use, like, whether I'm questioning something, whether it's like, oh, I didn't do this well, I just try and use that as honestly motivation. And it's, I always put forward my best work, the best that I can, no matter what. And as long as I'm like proud of the work that I've put forward, I've just learned to just move on from it, because I believe like whatever's meant to be will be. And if I knew that I gave my best acting or my best dance routine or my best acting scene, then that's all I can do. There's nothing I can control. It's out of my hands. If I were to put forward something that maybe like I knew wasn't my best, then yes, I would definitely be disappointed in myself, because the opportunity could have been there if I did put forward my best. But I think all you can do is do your best, truly. And if it's meant to be, it will. And if it's not, I think it's important to learn from it. And if you get feedback, great. I take that feedback and I implement it into my next audition or my next dance. But if, you know, it is one of those things that you can't control, then I just think you move forward and keep moving forward into your next goal and just to kind of let it be. And yeah, I think it gets hard when you worry about things and you start to like look back and start to, you know, remember the past in negative ways. But I always just like to use it as positive reinforcement to move forward into what's next. So there's a lot of no's. There's way more no's than you get yeses. But again, if you use those as motivation, you'll definitely get far, because at least you're inspired to keep moving forward and be better. And yeah, train more.
We've had the pleasure of talking to both Mitchell Jackson and Amy Wright, who both described you as extremely hardworking. What is it that drives you?
That's a great question. Honestly, it's so hard to answer that, because it's almost like a feeling. Like I just, when I dance, it's like nothing else is happening. Honestly, it's not even like I'm thinking of things. It's almost like when I'm on and I just go. And it's like, there's like literally nothing happening in my brain. I just feel like at that point, I'm just like a robot. Like I feel like I'm just going and just doing what I can. But it's really important to stay out of your head. And that's one thing, like a lot of people get very nervous before they go on stage, which is so normal. I feel like if you're not nervous, then you don't care. If you care, obviously you're nervous. So again, like I was saying earlier, my nerves just come out in like very bubbly, very hyper energy. So for me, I actually have to calm myself down so that I don't waste my energy before I go on stage. But I think creating good rituals that work for you is something that I've learned is really important. Like for me, I'm like 5 minutes before I go on stage, I don't even like to think about my dance. I don't like to try anything for my dance. I don't like to listen to my song. I just literally like to put headphones on and listen to my favorite songs that calm me down and keep me super in tune. Because I think if you do a turn so much and then you fall out and then you start to question that turn, or you go over your dance so much, like, oh, I forget that part, and then you forget that part, you just get so in your head and you get so overwhelmed that at that point, like 5 minutes before you go on stage, you've done everything you need to do. There's nothing more that you can do that's going to change anything. You just kind of have to go out there and trust yourself and give your best. And so I just like finding ways to calm myself down before I go on stage after is a really big thing. And then obviously after, whether I fell out of something or not, again, I don't like to put pressure on myself. Like I don't cry. I don't get upset if I mess something up. Again, whatever is meant to be will be. And as long as I know that I gave my best effort, then that was what was meant to happen. So it definitely gets challenging, but yeah, I think you just have to stay in tune with yourself and create rituals and habits that work best for you. Because yeah, if you get too much into drama or you get too much into thinking too much about this, then it starts to alter your direction.
You have an insane amount of strength and power. For such a little person, you're a real pocket rocket. What sort of training do you do to achieve that?
Honestly, I do have to say, ever since I was a little kid, I've had a lot of energy, and I'm grateful that I actually had more strength and power, I feel like, than I did flexibility. And I feel like everyone, you know, they're more flexible than they are strong. Some people are strong than they are flexible. I definitely think I had more strength and power than I did flexibility. So flexibility was actually something I had to really work for. But I always tell like my students or people that ask me, I'm like, you always want to have a really strong balance of both flexibility and strength. Because if you're too on one side, then you're not going to be that, you know, very neutral dancer that's going to allow you to get the power, but then also have the flexibility through the jumps that you need the power for. So yeah, I think that I definitely had it since I was a kid, and I think the gymnastics definitely helped because a lot of that is power moves. But as I got older and I started to finish up my, you know, dance studio training, I started to get into a lot of like self body weight conditioning and strengthening. And I found that that was a way that really helped achieve jumps that, you know, like 540s or jumps that aren't necessarily seen every day on everyone, or even start to innovating my own jumps was really fun. But again, it was through all that strength and conditioning. So even now, I always encourage everyone, as much as you're training in all styles, to try and keep up with your cardio, whether like for me, I go for runs a lot just to keep my stamina up. I even do a lot of yoga to keep my flexibility up. Even a lot of like, it sounds so funny, but boxing and kickboxing is great for power and for quick movements, which a lot of 540, it's all twisting your hip. So it's like little things that I just try and keep up with, which actually help me in my dance as a whole, which is really funny. So yeah, a lot of strength and conditioning for sure, a lot of stretching, but it's just a lot of practice. It's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of consistency, and it's a lot of trial and error, and you just can't be afraid. I feel like sometimes people get scared to try things, and that can be a roadblock. I'm really grateful that for me, I don't really get fearful of a lot. As long as I'm trying it in a safe space, like a gymnastics gym first, I'll pretty much go for anything. So yeah, it's definitely fun, but I definitely say a lot of it comes from strength and conditioning, but consistent training of it. Not just like once a week. I definitely do strength and conditioning like 3 to 4, maybe even 5 to 6 times a week, depending. So yeah.
What would your training be like now? Do you go to dance classes? You're in the gym probably 5 times a week. You're going for runs a couple of times a week. How often are you training now?
Yeah, so now my training schedule definitely looks different, because as a kid, like I was saying, it was like 25 to 35 hours a week at the studio. And obviously between different styles and before competition, you're more so just, you know, half of those hours are just prepping your competition routines. Now I have it because since I wanted to get into acting more, I want to do a lot of action films so I can, you know, use my gymnastics, my dance, my fight scene, my boxing, like kind of include it all into one. In some cases, I'm also training for certain roles. So if my character is, say, an action character, then my training is specific to what she needs. Or if my character is more laid back and maybe like isn't as strong, then maybe my training would be different for that. Or if it's a strong dance role, then it would be this. Or maybe it's a gymnastics role and I just need to be really strong on all events, then I would do training for that. But on an everyday, just like on a regular week, I would say that my training definitely varies, but I try and do at least 2 things a day and have one rest day if needed. So one day, maybe I'll go into the studio and I'll train with Mitchell and I'll go to a yoga class. One morning I'll go for a run and then I'll do boxing and kickboxing that night. Maybe I'll go to the gymnastics gym to train my gymnastics actual flips and jumps. And then later that night, I'll go back to the gymnastics gym and do strength and conditioning for gymnastics, which is much different because you do rope climbs and you do different things on the bars and you do leg holds, where, you know, sometimes I'll go to the actual weight gym and do light weight. So I really try and switch up my training and have a lot of variety within my training, because like I said, they all help me in different ways for what I'm leading up to. But I would say, yeah, either way, I'm definitely training 6 days a week, sometimes 7, but I like to give myself one day to kind of let my body recover. And within those 6 days, I'm trying to do 2 activities, but it varies depending on what they might be.
What does dance mean to you?
Dance means everything to me. I love to dance. And it's funny because I love to dance. Not only do I love to do it because I like to perform and I love to, you know, let my feelings out, but I also love that there's always a challenge and you're never perfect and you can always be a student. You can always learn. You can always be better. And I also just love inspiring people. And I hope that I do, but I love that when someone says that I inspire them in certain things, like I love that. And I love if I could perform for people that, you know, want to go back to the studio after and just learn and try things that I tried. I just hope that I can inspire and motivate people. And that's one of the things that I love about it. But then I also love the challenge of not always being perfect and not always being on. I think if you just had perfect routine runs all the time, it would get boring. So I actually like falling sometimes. And I'm like, oh, great. I need to work on that routine. I need to work on that move. Or my coach saying that didn't look very good. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. It didn't. So I think just being really, yeah, understanding that sometimes you actually don't want to be perfect. And I love being criticized. The more corrections I get from my teacher, the better. Some people are like, oh, I don't want to hear corrections, or I get worried when my teacher's going to give me corrections. But if they don't give you corrections and you're not perfect, then sometimes you don't know what to fix. And then you just kind of stay the same at what that is. So I always like to say that the more corrections, the more that your teacher gives you, the better. And don't take it as a negative thing. They're trying to help you be the best that you can be by giving you those corrections. And that's what's going to get you there. So try to think as corrections as like the best thing that you could ever get out of a class or of a teacher. And if you're getting more than the other students, then don't take that as a bad thing. Take that as like a great thing. And I think that's something that can be misinterpreted, but criticism, positive criticism is great. And I think it needs to be loved more, understood better.
Well, Briar, I don't think I'd ever heard of a 540 until we had seen you do it. And now there's kids all across Australia trying to do a 540 because Briar Nolet does it. So you're definitely inspiring children across the world.
Oh, thank you. It's so sweet.
What advice would you give to your 10-year-old self?
Ooh, I would tell my 10-year-old self to be patient because, again, since I am very hyper, I want things now. Like, if it's a trick, I want to get it today, I want to get it now. But sometimes that always doesn't mean the best. So I would say I would tell my 10-year-old self to be patient. And I would tell my 10-year-old self to, I don't know, it's so hard because I feel like I never regret anything because, again, I believe everything happens for a reason. And I think that, yeah, the way that everything happened growing up was meant to be. But, yeah, I would say to be patient and maybe try new things. I think I was so involved in dance that, like, dance was my life. And I think if I were to tell my 10-year-old self to, like, let loose a little bit more and, you know, go hang out with a friend here and there more or, you know, go rock climbing and try something new or travel a little bit more, I think that would have been nice. But, yeah, I think everything at 10 years old happened for a reason.
What are your goals and dreams for the future?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say with acting, I definitely want to do, I think the majority of my career, I would love for it to be in the acting world. I love all genres of film, but like I was saying earlier, I definitely would love to get into action films and being able to use my athletic abilities and my acting skills in one. So like Scarlett Johansson and Angelina Jolie, like a lot of those type of roles would be awesome and such a dream to be able to accomplish and do. Aside from that, when it comes to dance, like I was saying earlier as well, I'm really lucky that opening for J.Lo was such a big dream and goal of mine. So I would love to get stronger at singing and come out with my own music and be able to dance and perform and use my dancing abilities there for live performances. And yeah, I think those are the main things. Definitely acting.
I believe there's a bit of an exciting project you're working on at the moment. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Yes, on top of acting and dancing and music, I also love business. And I think as I kind of grew older, I kind of like was like, oh, business is really fun. And so I took on the role of starting my own athletic wear line that is launching later this year, but I'm so excited about it. And it's taken, I would say, over a year and a half to build because I just am such a perfectionist. I want it to be perfect and I wouldn't want to put something out that I wouldn't want to wear. So I'm definitely big on creating super sustainable and high quality, but also really fun, fashionable forward designs because as dancers, I feel like we have such fun costumes and designed crop tops and sports and, you know, leggings, but sometimes they're not always the most sustainable. And sometimes it's the same thing with really sustainable activewear. Sometimes it's not always the cutest designs and most fashion forward designs. So I wanted to kind of create something that would bring those two worlds together. And yeah, I'm so excited for it. It's been such a work in progress, but I'm very proud of the final product. So I'm very excited to keep you guys updated.
And when can we expect to be buying some of those outfits?
I'm hoping, I don't want to put a date on it yet because you never know how things could go when it comes to production, but I'm hoping by latest October that it will be out, give or take, but yeah, definitely later this year.
Where will people be able to find them?
So it will be online. It will be all online on our website and yeah, which is great because I'm so happy that like you guys in Australia and people from all around the world are able to grab it and it doesn't just have to be people from here in the GTA and in Canada. But yeah, I'm super excited about it. Thank you guys for asking.
Oh, awesome. Very exciting. Well, Briar, it has been an absolute honor talking to you. Thank you so much for giving up your time and chatting with us today.
Of course. My goodness, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Briar, so much for joining us today.
And remember, if you like this episode or other episodes, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating and a review. And make sure you share it with your friends.
Remember, you can find all of our previous episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Please feel free to get in touch with any feedback or questions you have via DM on Instagram at Dance Matters Podcast.
Don't forget to head over to My Diva Squad to check out their amazing bags and dance accessories.
They have the best bags.
Keep dancing.
And remember,
listen, love, and learn.
Catch you next time.
Bye.